From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. We're glad to have your company once more around the precious Word of God. We will continue today our study of John's Gospel and its record of the Savior on trial before Pilate. Chapter 19, the verses 18 to 16 is where we will be turning. Pilate makes his fatal choice in these verses, and we will be considering the implications of that decision so long ago. This afternoon, at 3 o'clock, we will play another part of the sermon I preached here in our church in Kilskerry some time ago. The sermon is entitled, The Dreadfulness of Hell. Solemn subject. I trust that you will plan to join with us around God's Word once more at 3 o'clock. We're going to play a hymn before we turn to John 19. It's a very lovely old gospel hymn. It's entitled, Jesus is Always There, and it's sung for us by the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet.
Sometimes the skies are cloudy and dreary, sometimes our hearts are burdened with prayer, but we may know Jesus is always there. Never a burden that He doth not carry, never a sorrow that He doth not share. Whether the days may be sunny or dreary, Jesus is
Our subject today is the Lord Jesus on trial before Pilate. This is the fourth part of our study of this particular section of John's Gospel. We're looking at chapter 19, the verses 8 to 16. In this passage, there is a highlighting for us of the two fears which dominated Pilate as he deliberated upon what he should do with Christ. One fear springs from the title Christ claimed. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Verses 7 and 8. The other fear sprang from a desire to preserve his political career, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, verses 12 to 13. As we continue our study of this record, I want us to note the struggle that very obviously went on in Pilate's mind. It was a struggle between doing what he knew was the right thing, siding with Christ and declaring him innocent and setting him free, irrespective of the consequences he might face, and the desire to protect his political career and his social position. Such a struggle is not unique to Pilate. It is one faced by all who are confronted by the gospel. Pilate stood at a crossroads. One way led to heaven, but it was the way of reproach and shame, for it meant that he had to stand with Christ, the rejected one. The other way appeared to ensure his continued political and social success, and avoid being ostracized by his friends and associates. So it is with some of you listening to this program. For you to trust Christ and embrace him as your Savior will mean eternal salvation, but it will also mean you bearing shame and reproach before men, before your friends and colleagues. No one knows better than you what it was that Pilate faced that day, for you stand just where he stood, and you are facing the same two ways. Remember the words of Christ, "Enter ye in at the straight," or narrow, "gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Secondly, Pilate sought to wriggle out of this decision. He knew what was right, but he was afraid to do it. He knew the accusers of Christ were liars and deceivers, yet he feared to thwart them. Pilate pictures for us the depravity of the human heart. What miserable creatures we are by nature. Pilate did not instinctively jump to side with Christ, as anyone who loved truth and justice would surely do. Pilate was more conscious of the harm that the Jewish multitude could do to his career than he was of the power of God to judge sin and damn the guilty. He was ready to please the people at the cost of displeasing God. That is a picture of all men in their natural state. He brought the Lord Jesus out once more before the people. He hoped that the sight of his humiliation and suffering might alter the views of the Jewish leaders, and that they would be satisfied with this degrading already experienced by Jesus, and thus allow Pilate to let him go. "Behold your king," he says to the Jews, hoping for a reaction from them that would enable him to release the Lord Jesus. But it does not work. How crafty was the reply of the Jewish leaders. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Verse 15. The cry of the Jewish people throughout the centuries had been, "The Lord is our king, he will save us." Isaiah 33, verse 22. This cry, before Pilate, by the Jewish leaders, marked a rejection of the Lord that was fatal. These words mark a fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of Jacob, their national father. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Shiloh, one of the titles of Christ, had come, and now the scepter, the symbol of royal authority, had departed from the royal tribe, Judah. Caesar was now their king. Since that day the Jewish people have been without a king of their own. This is what Hosea was referring to when he said, Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice. Hosea chapter 3 verse 4. The Jewish race has lived under the shadow of that decision they made in response to Pilate. These terrible words uttered by the Jewish leaders also faced Pilate once more with the fact that if he does not crucify Jesus, he is siding with one who appeared to be a rival of his emperor, Caesar. Finally, at that moment, Pilate chose career. He chose the well-being of his social standing over the eternal salvation of his soul. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 16. I believe that Pilate never saw Christ again from that moment. The word delivered is a translation of the same Greek word that is translated by the English word betrayed in John 18, verse 2. That verse reads, And Judas also, which betrayed him. Pilate was of the same character as Judas. His actions paralleled those of Judas. So too it is with anyone who acts as did Pilate. They join the company of Judas. Pilate seesawed between two opinions, one right and one wrong. One seemed wise with regards his career, while the other seemed right in the light of eternity, of truth and justice. Foolishly, and that eternally so, Pilate chose to put the affairs of this brief life on this earth before the eternal well-being of his undying soul. He chose career and rejected Christ. Pilate is lost in hell forever. Pilate knew the sinfulness of what he was doing. In Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 24, we read of his infamous attempt to absolve himself of the guilt of crucifying Christ. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He was but fooling himself. Nothing can wash away the guilt of Christ's rejection. Listener, please, do not reject the Savior for the favor and smile of this world for a short time, for it will bring upon you the frown of God's wrath for all eternity. Side with Christ. Embrace him as your Savior today. Please join me again at 3 o'clock this afternoon. God bless you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.